Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, your grace is marvelous and it is wonderful. And Father, we thank you so much for loving us and for caring for us, Father, and how you have shown yourself to us, Father, in so many different ways. And Father, we pray today, dear Lord, as we witness the baptisms, Father, of two people that have given their life to you. Father, we pray that that example others will see, Father, and want to follow you if they have not already, Lord. Father, we pray for people to be saved, Father, for lives to be changed. And Father, we know that you was in the beginning, that you started all things, Father, and we know that you will be the end. Father, you are awesome and you are wonderful. Pray for our pastor today, Brother Cal, Father, that you will use him in a mighty way. Speak through him, Father. Open our hearts and our ears so we may hear and receive the blessing that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
By the way, that's Brother J.D. Justice. Be in prayer for his dear wife. She's having shoulder surgery tomorrow morning. Major stuff. So be in prayer for Miss Betty, would you? And then in his prayer time, I don't know if you heard him mention baptism. We're having baptism again next Sunday. Amen. Going to baptize Carter. One of our young men who's up here leading in worship. And so I'm thankful for what God's doing in our young families right now, and I'm thankful for what he's doing in our older families, and I'm just thankful that God's doing anything with any of us. Amen? And so we're going to get back for the rest of the summer, at least, in the Truth About Truth sermon series. And I want to tell you, the older I get, the more I realize even in the Baptist church, we're not sure what we believe anymore. And if we do know what we believe, we're not sure why we believe what we believe. And so I think this series, as we move through the Truth About Truth, will be a blessing to all of us. And God would reveal more of himself as we... wasn't our destination dig? Vacation Bible School wonderful as our kids were digging up those great truths from the Scriptures, and that's what we want to continue to do here today. There are basically three questions that the majority of people are asking about, and they want an answer to. Number one, where did I come from? Number two, why am I here? And number three, where am I going? Those three questions. And I want to make this very clear. Unless you understand about how you got here, you will never know and understand why you are here. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. I've entitled the message, What's All the Monkey Business About? And Brother Andrew wanted to sing The Last Train to Clarksville because the monkeys sang that song many years ago. Some of y'all don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. Anyways, there are two worldviews that really attempt to answer these questions and explain these questions, and that's evolution and creation. And you know, you really cannot concretely, absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, prove either one of those worldviews. But I want to say this. The only reason you can is because God was the only eyewitness at the beginning of space and time, right? And so evolution basically teaches us that that you're a collection of atoms and molecules that just kind of happen to come together by chance. Evolution teaches that we are a collection of atoms and molecules that happened to come together over millions and millions of years and have now evolved from this one-celled organism into human beings by a random process. And by the way, evolutionists teach that your closest relative is a monkey. That we're descended from monkeys. I ran across this little jingle, and it's very applicable this morning. It goes something like this. Once I was a tadpole beginning to begin. And then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. And then I was a monkey swinging from the tree. And now I'm a professor with a PhD. Now, if you're a professor with a PhD, forgive me. This whole thing is kind of somewhat like the monkey that was seen coming out of the library with a Bible under one arm and a Charles Darwin's Origin of the Species in the other arm. And somebody asked the monkey what in the world he was doing. And he said, well, I'm trying to figure out if I'm my brother's keeper or my keeper's brother. Sir Frederick Hoyle, listen to this. One of Britain's foremost scientists conducted a computerized study of the chance that a living cell could have developed by a random process, and he calculated those chances on a computer of random chemical shuffling in some primordial soup that could produce the complex basic enzymes of just one cell of life. You know what the chances are of that? He figured out 1 in 10 to the 40th power. Those of you that never had math, that's 10 with 40 circles behind it. In other words, that there's just about as much chance of evolution being true as a hurricane going through a junkyard and building a Boeing 747. And the formation of the universe, the origin of the first life and the encoding of information in the cell all point powerfully, as you well know, to a creator. Evolution is basically this: man's attempt to explain the origins of the universe outside of a divine creator. That's all that is. We tend to dress it up with all these big words and all that stuff, but basically it is a godless way to explain how things all began. Now, this morning, I just simply want to attempt to contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. I want to talk about what's all the monkey business about. I want to give you the truth about truth. And so, if you would stand, and I know everybody in here can find this verse. It's Genesis 1:1. Everybody stand when you find Genesis 1:1. Here it is. In the beginning, say that with me. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. Let's say it all together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to need some Holy Ghost help up in here this morning to reach your heart with the truth. And to empower us. And I've got a brother from another mother up in here today, and I love to hear him pray, and I especially like it when he's praying for me, Blake Parks. Ask God to bless the word today, would you, brother?
Father God, we're so thankful for coming to this place today and recognize right off the bat you were in the beginning. In the beginning is you.
Yes. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Blake. Genesis 1:1 is a foundational, functional, factual statement. I believe that this verse is a literal, accurate, basic, meaningful statement. And if you can't believe Genesis 1:1, you can't believe John 3:16. You're either going to believe the Bible or you're not. And that's kind of where we are with things today. We're made in the image of God. And how you respond to Genesis 1:1 reveals what kind of life you're going to have. Did you know that? If you believe that you were created by God, you're probably going to live that way. Hello? And if you believe that you were made in the image of God, then you're going to see life as sacred. Now, if you believe that you came from lower life forms and that your life was just kind of an accident and that you evolved from some green, gooey slime, guess what? You're going to live your life that way. Your morality and your ethics, your sense of right and wrong is going to be skewed, and because it's going to be shaped by the way that you respond to Genesis 1:1. That's how big all this is. Really is. And having said that, the evolution, I think, kind of tends to make people think that it liberates them. It frees him or her up to do whatever they wish to do and whoever they wish to do it with. He or she is free to follow his or her instincts wherever they may lead. And by the way, if you're a student of history, evolution, as taught by it, is a theory. It's being taught as facts now in our school systems. But it's a theory that Charles Darwin came up with many years ago and helped lead to all the mass murders of Hitler's Nazi regime and Karl Marx's communism. You just do your homework, study, read about it. But I want us to look this morning at the creation account. Tell somebody, I can't wait to see how I was created. Now get your mind out of the gutter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so we're going to start out with God created time. That's what he means by in the beginning. This is the Hebrew word Rashit, which means the beginning of a fixed period of time. In the beginning, a fixed period of time. Did you know that Isaiah 46:10 states this, that God declares the end from the beginning? The Bible sets forth the beginning of time and the end of time. You know, there's a mystery about time, isn't there? I mean, there really is. It's kind of mysterious. You can't store it. You can't put it away. As Jim Croce told us many years ago, you can't put time in a bottle. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. You can't borrow time. It's only going forward. Are y'all with me this morning? You just got your thinking caps on, don't you? Okay. We all have the same amount of time, and yet we don't even know when time began. All we know is that God created time. Say that with me. God created time. And there's a mystery concerning time, but there's also a measure concerning time. Time is measured by seconds, minutes, and hours on a clock. Or one of these. Time is also measured by days, weeks, months, and years on a calendar. Are y'all with me? But you know what? God's not bound up by time. 1,000 years are as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. But here's what Psalm 31:15 reveals. I love this verse of Scripture. Psalm 31:15 says, our times are in His hands. Our times are in His hand. I'm so thankful to know that nothing happens without it being filtered through the great big hands of our God. He's in charge of everything, and He's in charge of time. And did you know that 2 Corinthians 6:2 says that it is time right now to be saved? Today is the day of salvation, the Scripture says. 2 Corinthians 6:2, there it is. Now is the day of salvation. When's the best time to be saved? Right now. When's the best time to follow Christ? Right now. When is the best time to be obedient to Christ? Right now. Today is the day of salvation. Now, when your time has ended on earth, we conducted Angie's mama's funeral service, memorial service this week. All of us, if Jesus tarries, are going to face... Now, Brother Andrew, when I was your age, I never thought about this. But I think about it a lot now. But my time on earth is coming to an end. And so is yours. And what you do with Jesus right now determines where you're going to spend all your time in eternity. That's a major, major statement. And if you were to step out into eternity today, some of you are not ready. You see why the Bible says now is the day of salvation? We don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes, much less tomorrow. Today is the day to be... And how many of y'all have figured out that time moves so swiftly? I mean, you look back and boom, there's 30 years. You just wait and see. Some of you young folks just wait and see what I'm talking about. Seems like yesterday we were graduating from high school, wasn't it, Blake? Wasn't it yesterday that we graduated? I mean, hey, time is running swiftly. And what you do with Jesus during this time determines what kind of time you're going to have when you step out into eternity. So, in the beginning, God created time. Here, secondly, God created space. God created the heavens, Genesis 1:1 says. Now, the Hebrew word for heavens is shamayim. Isn't that a cool word? I just like it, Billy, how it sounds. Shamayim. Say that with me. Shamayim. Now you're speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Shamayim. And really, that word speaks of this. It refers to the space in the universe outside of planet Earth. Any space in the universe outside of planet Earth. We're talking about the heavens here. Now, I want you to just think for a minute with me about outer space. We don't even know how to measure space. Now, I know we talk about the stars being 25 million light years away, and the planet of Venus is supposed to be 25 million miles away and all that, but we can't even measure the distance between the galaxies right now. And yet, space is made up of atoms, which are protons, neutrons, and electrons. And, you know, where did that atom come from? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, let me say this. Did you know that space, that the heavens are winding down? How many of you have ever seen a fallen star at night? Well, that in and of itself tells you right now that the heavens are not always going to be there. They are winding down. Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. We need to take a look at this as a family of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I kind of like turning in my Bible to a verse every now and then. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 10. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise." Now, you know, we tend to think that everybody's, you know, the Big Bang Theory. Well, there is going to be a Big Bang. It didn't happen in the beginning of time, but it's going to happen at the end of time. There's going to be a Big Bang. Isn't that what he says? The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What a great question. What a great question. Now, according to verse 10 there, it tells us that the heavens are going to roll up one day like a scroll. And verse 11 states that outer space is going to disappear. So why did God even create the heavens? Why did God in the first, if he was going to get rid of all that, why is things winding down? Why are things coming to a close? Well, you see, Psalm 19:1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare his glory. How many of you like to sit outside at night from time to time and you look up at those gorgeous stars? And it's just like they're all twinkling at you, isn't it? And the stars are shining and the heavens are lit up with those stars. And then you see, maybe it was Melanie, she likes to post sunrises and sunsets. Isn't it an amazing thing to see the sun come up in the morning? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then, you know, when you see the crystal, now the sky is not crystal blue, at least we can't see that it is right now, but don't you just love riding down the road and looking up, and there's this beautiful expanse, this beautiful, what's all that stuff about? God created the heavens for his glory. God's revealing his glory. Creation. God's revealed himself. We talked about this a few weeks ago in Romans 1. God has revealed himself to every single person through creation, through conscience, and 2,000 years ago through the cross. So we don't have any excuse for not knowing who God is. Amen? So God created space. God created the heavens. Are y'all with me so far? All right, here's the last one. God created matter. In other words, it says God created the heavens and God created the what? The earth, that's right. And now the Hebrew word for earth here is eretz. And it speaks of the physical planet earth. God created the earth. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the chances are, but I've read all kinds of statistics and numbers and stuff, but one scientist said that the chances that one cell came into existence on accident is 1 in 10 with 60 zeros behind it. And you know, that's kind of what I think, Billy. It takes more faith to believe evolution than it does in a divine creator. It really does. You've got to really have some great faith to believe in this stuff that the world is teaching us about evolution and how things evolved. You know, that'd be kind of like putting a laptop in front of a monkey, and in just a matter of seconds, that monkey had typed out the 23rd Psalm. Okay, they got it first over here. Now it's kind of sweeping this way. Why do people not want to believe that God created the earth? Well, I've got an answer for that. You see, if you can do away with a divine creator, you can do away with personal accountability and personal responsibility. You can live any way you want to live. You can do anything you want to do. You don't have to answer to anybody. You won't have to be accountable to anybody. Well, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, matter, the earth, is just like the heavens, is temporary. It's temporal. It's winding down. And the earth is made up of soil, rocks. How many of y'all like to dig in the dirt? Three of you, four of you, five. Okay. That's a scriptural thing. You know, it really is. Earth is made up of soil, rocks, minerals, fire, chemicals, gravity. Yet matter is winding down just like space. Turn with me to Hebrews 1. This is a fantastic scripture too. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. All right. Hebrews chapter 1, 10 and 11. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. You see, God is the one constant, isn't he? Same yesterday, today, and forever. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed, but you are the same. And your years will not fail. Here's the deal. Guys, that gorgeous four-wheel drive cab truck you've got, that beautiful vehicle, guess what's going to happen to it? It's going to rust. It's going to rust. You girls, that beautiful evening gown that you want to put on, it's going to fade away. And you teenagers, that teenage figure you got, it's all going south. Why is that? Because you see, matter is winding down just like the heavens. So why did God create the earth? I'm so glad you asked. Do you know why God created the heavens and the earth? For human habitation. So that we could live here. That's right. God did all this. I mean, the stars tell us that. The earth's rotation around the sun tells us that. The rotation of the earth on its axis tells us that. I mean, the distance of earth from the sun, everything tells us that God created earth for human habitation. And by the way, I hear scientists talking about life on other planets. Well, bless God, I don't know about all that, but if they do find life on another planet, God put it there. Just like he put it here. He created earth for human habitation. Can I just tell you, God loves you. He's not mad at you. Now, he may be mad about the sin in your life, but he's not angry with you. God hates sin because of what it does to us. It separates us from him. That's why he sent Jesus. Hello? God loves you. And he puts you on this planet, like I mentioned to the Pounds couple this morning. Are you going to live for God's glory the rest of your life? I didn't ask them, are they going to be perfect? Because they're not going to be. But is their life going to point to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's why God put us here. You were created for his glory. And the earth was made for human habitation until God burns it all up. Psalm 8:3 reveals that God created this place for us with his fingers. The psalmist also said that God whispered and the universe sprang into existence out of absolutely nothing. Psalm 77:15 reveals that after he created you, he reached down in salvation for you with his arm. Throw that one up there, Ellen. Psalm 77:15. They need to see this one. Psalm 77:15. Do I need to get it? Psalm 77:15. I could have already gotten it. Hang on here. Here it is. No, it's not your fault, it's mine. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. You know that little word Selah in the Psalms that you see from time to time? You know what that little word basically means? There. What do you think about that? How about that? Now, here's the bottom line this morning. He reached down with his long arm of salvation to save you. You see, God not only created the heavens and the earth, he moved heaven and earth so that you could be saved. Y'all didn't get that. God created the heavens and the earth. But he moved all of heaven and earth to bring you to himself. I'm so thankful for that. And here's the bottom line. God didn't make a monkey out of you. He wants to make you more like His Son. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're not in a personal, walking, talking, living, breathing relationship with Him, you are outside of Christ. And you need to be saved today, right now. How do I do that, Pastor? I want to tell you, the plan of salvation is so simple that even a little 8, 9, 10 little boy or girl can understand it. Didn't come cheaply. It cost the Lord Jesus His life. But if you'd be willing to make a spiritual U-turn, you know what a U-turn is. If you'd be willing to repent, turn from your sin, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in Him that He's the Son of God, and that He has the power to save you and to give you a new life. If you would just simply do that by calling on Him, He'll do that here today. And He will save you. That's what the Word of God says. And if you'll believe what God's Word says, you can be saved today. Now, a lot of you already are saved. But let me ask you a question. What are you doing for heaven's sake? What are you doing right now to give God glory? Does your life point people to Jesus? Are you living a life that's changing the culture? We're to be salt and light. Are you living an obedient lifestyle? Is God, does He have the top priority of your life? You see, whatever it is that you're most passionate about, whoever, whatever, if it's not God, that's an idol. You've got an idol in your life. This is another sermon for another day, but I want to tell you, if we really want revival, we got to be willing to put away the idols in our life. And you need to come today to an old-fashioned altar. This is a place to come and weep. This is a place to come and grieve and mourn. It's a place to come and seek the face of Almighty God. And there's some believers here that need to do that today. You really want to know what's going to change America? It's not politics. That ain't going to change us. The church. Living under the power and inspiration of the Holy Ghost is what's going to change things. And if you'd be willing to seek revival in your life, this altar is always open. It's time to do business with the Lord. Would you just bow your head, close your eyes? Father, I sure pray that I've said everything that needs to be said. I pray that I didn't say the things that did not need to be said. But God, Your Word speaks powerfully and loudly. And if today is the day of salvation, and it is, I pray right now, everybody within the sound of my voice might pray a prayer of salvation. Just a child's prayer of faith, turning from their sin, forsaking their sin, and trusting Christ. Just like Dylan did out in that riverboat. Oh God, turn people's lives around today. Change us. Give us new life. And Lord, there are others here that are in a battle, in a struggle. They know it and You know it. And they need to return to You. Revival is what many of us need. Summer of 2021, would You do a great work here? In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.